5. Hey, Tishrei, Friday the 7th of October, Rabbi Benji Morgan, Yom Kippur, celebrating our mistakes. This week's shiurim have been sponsored by the Torahway colleagues, friends and family of Rabbi Shlomo ben Baruch Menachem Galandar, Zecher Livracha, a much loved and sorely missed regular participant on the day of his shloshim, which is today.
Someone came over to me and sure said they were very happy that I was giving a show on celebrating our mistakes. He said that means that we've got a lot to celebrate. it's a time now between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur where we're mamash lifnai v'lifnim. So perhaps we've got an excuse to delve into some inyonim that usually during the rest of the year it would be quite dangerous to talk about. So I'm taking a little bit of a risk today, and this may be played throughout the year, but I feel that it can kind of, hopefully, we can go through somewhat of a paradigm shift in what Yom Kippur is about, what the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah about, what Teshuvah is about, then on a maybe a slightly deeper level than we would usually tend to delve to. So there's three questions when it comes to Teshuvah that kind of bother us when we've learned the sugya of teshuva. There's many questions, but three questions just kind of stand out. And I'm sure everyone's got their own mahalath, but today hopefully we'll try and come out with one streamlined mahalath, which I was makabel from my rabbim. So the Gemara in Brachos Lamed Daled Amud Beis, Gemara says, Omer Bavo, Mokim Shabali Teshuva Oimdin, famous Gemara, Mokim Shabali Teshuva Oimdin, the place where Bali Teshuva stand, Tzadikim Gemurim Einam Oimdim. Even the most righteous of Tzadikim cannot stand. Shenema, Shalom Shalom LaRochik VeLaKoriv. As it says, Shalom Shalom LaRochik VeLaKoriv, and it puts LaRochik Beresha, puts the person who was further away Beresha, Vahod LaKoriv, and then the person that was closer. So you have a Tzadik Gomor living in Bnei Brak, whose mamash never been toyim the time of chait, and he cannot reach the level of someone who has sinned to the greatest depths, but be a Baal Teshuvah. When we talk about Baal Teshuvah, not in the sense of how we use it in my line of work, we're talking about those who, in general, Tinuk Shenishpaz, we're talking about Baal Teshuvah, someone who probably is many of us who've made mistakes, but we've tried to rectify them and do Teshuvah. So it's always a question that bothers us is that how can it be that someone who has delved to such depths is on a higher madriga than someone who's mamish innocent, pure, never sinned? And that Reb Chaim Knievsky, so to speak, whoever that equivalent to Gemara is, can't reach the Tzadikim Gemurim, can't reach the place of the Baal Teshuvah, the person who was from a few miles down the road in Tel Aviv and has done all the drek and has now come back. Surely he's been scarred, he's been tainted. The chet is something that's ruined his neshama. It's a shvera gemara. It's a very hard thing to understand. Another gemara, which also, again, we've come across and we're aware of, but maybe we can try and understand a bit deeper today, is the gemara in Yuma Pei Vav Amud Beis. The gemara says, Amrei Shlokish, Gedoyla Teshuvah is so great, Shezedoynois Nasis Loikuskliyus, that our Averus, let's read that again. Nasis loikus chuyus doesn't say that our averus are wiped clean. That every single avera that we did, nasis loikus chuyus. So again, if someone came to court and they were terribly in debt, usually the best they'd hope for is to have it wiped clean. But here Rish Lakish is saying that if someone on their overdraft had minus £10 million, then it's not that we wipe it clean, but rather now we just take away that little dash, right? We just take away the minus sign and suddenly you're plus 10 million. How does that happen? How can it be? So the Gemara says there's Yira and Ava, and this only happens if you do Teshuvah Me'ava. But what is the understanding? Why the Rabbeinu Shlomo is, this isn't just a Rachamim, this is the Rabbeinu Shlomo saying this is the system. Teshuvah Nasis Zdoinus Nasis Leikus Chuyus. Now there's another third question that we have on Tshuva, which is seemingly unrelated, but we'll see it is related. That's the Gemara, the Mishnah in Yuma Pehei Yom HaBeis, where the Mishnah says that there's individuals that Yom Kippur is an amazing day. Yom Kippur can be mechaper for almost everything, except for this one individual. And it seems a bit harsh. What's the individual? Ha'emer echteva oshuv. Then, ha'emer echteva oshuv, echteva oshuv, eima speaking biyodilas is tshuva. Someone who says, echteva oshuv, I'm going to do an avera, but you know what, Yom Kippur's around the corner. Or he's in the middle of the year, he says, okay, fine, it's Pesach time. Good news is, Yom Kippur's mechaper. So, echteva oshuv, there's this teshuva get-out clause. If you use the get-out clause beforehand, eima speaking biyodilas is tshuva, which seems... we can understand why there's such a system, but it seems a bit harsh. So those are three questions we've got on Tshuva. And maybe today we can kind of try and understand a little bit the system of what Tshuva is about, what Yom Kippur is about, what the Avodas Hayom, really, of Yom Kippur is about, and maybe we can start celebrating our mistakes. So there's a Gemara in the Gemara Yerushalmi in Megillah, Perek Aleph Halacha Hey, says a very interesting thing. Anavim vaksuvim asidin lihibotil. Anavim vak. I'm just reading out the words of the Yerushalmi. Anavim vaksuvim asidin lihibotil. V'chameishes tifrei Torah ainan asidin lihibotil. The anavim and ksuvim will one day be eliminated, but the chameishes tifrei Torah will not be. Amrish Lakish, interestingly, the same Rish Lakish also said in Tzedonis Nansis Lakis Kliyas. Amrish Lakish, af Megillas Esther v'halochos einon asidin libotol. Also the Megillas Esther v'halochos, which means and the day of Purim, einon asidin libotol. So it's a very Peledika Yerushalmi. We've got Rosh Hashanah, we've got Yom Kippur, we've got the Nevi'im, we've got the Ksuvim, we've got everything. But the Megillas Esther, that's what remains. In the time of Mashiach, Purim will remain. And it's brought down all the Sifri Chassidus, but the Makor is the Tikkun Zoya on Zion on base. It says, Purim is Karias al Shem Yoim HaKippurim. We know that the word Yoim HaKippurim is Yoim HaKippurim, a day like Purim. Le'is Angobe, Veloshinuye Le Me'anuye Lo'inek. That Yom Kippur will one day turn into a day of Purim. And actually, when we call Yoim HaKippurim, the word Yom Kippurim, and Arizal brings this down, and all the way down, every single Sefer Chassidus, Kabbalah brings this idea that Yom Kippurim, now, all of us know, when we come to Shul on Yom Kippur, there's a certain ambience and aura that's in the room, and it's almost diametrically opposed to the feeling that we have on Purim. So, in what way is Yom Kippur like Purim? Why is Purim the one holiday that's going to stay? And maybe if we can understand that, and understand the key, which is Aristotelian logic versus paradoxical logic, then maybe we can understand a little bit of Pesach here. So I'm sure you're all familiar with Aristotelian logic. Aristotle had three classic rules of thought. And this is what I want to kind of go through. I'm sure you're all familiar with it. But we'll go through this very simple. Aristotle's first law of thought is the law of identity. I'll explain to you. If you're not familiar with it, for those of you know, I'll go Chazor. If you're not familiar, we'll learn it for the first time together. Aristotle's three classic laws of thought are as follows. The first one is the law of identity. By the way, it'll be interesting because when we go through Aristotle, before we see paradoxical, I think a lot of us will relate to Aristotle's law of identity. He says, law of identity is that A is A. All right? Do we agree with that? Right, A is A. I think we all agree with that. We live our lives, right? Aleph is Aleph. A is A. I am I. That's a pretty solid philosophy. The law of contradiction is the second law. A is not non-A, which means I am not you, and you are not me. Okay, do we agree with that? I think we all live our lives pretty much like that. And the third and most important law, the law of the excluded middle, which means A cannot be A and non-A simultaneously, or neither A or non-A simultaneously, which means I can't be me and you at the same time. Sometimes you ask someone a question, they say both. It's like, no, it can't be both. It's either the yes or no. Both. It's not both. It's either A or B. Answer the question. Is it A or is it B? So Aristotle, and this is how we live our lives, this is how Western law is built, and this is how we kind of have a give and take. Any business transaction is that, no, there's two sides of the table. There's me and there's you. There's A, which is not non-A. There's the A is A, and that we, it's not that both of us are A and B. There's A and B, and this is, in other words, and this is in Aristotle's words, for any proposition, either that proposition is true or its negation is. When there are two contradictory propositions, i.e. where one proposition is the negation of the other, one must be true and the other is false. It is impossible that there should be anything between the two parts of a contradiction. You have an A and a B, you have a yes and a no. It's either yes or is it no. It's me or is it you. That is Aristotle's thoughts on philosophy. And most people actually kind of understand that. They understand that when they go through the alphabet, A stands alone, B stands alone, Aleph stands alone, Bay stands alone, maybe not. But that's how we kind of live our lives. Now, paradoxical logic, on the other hand, states the complete opposite. Paradoxical, what paradoxical means is that A is A and non-A simultaneously. Opposites do not exclude each other, rather arise simultaneously. Right, so it's kind of confusing. It's always saying that black and white are one, paradoxically. Whereas Aristotle would say, no, black is black and white is white. Each one of them stands alone. Now, it's interesting. Rabbi Tatz has a book called A Letter to a Buddhist Jew. And it's a very interesting story about someone who Rabbi Grunfeld met in a train station called David Gottlieb, who was a Buddhist and also a Yid. And one of the things that Rabbi Tatz shared with me was that although Buddhism is clearly not Judaism, a lot of, depending which stream of Buddhism, a lot of what they teach is actually preparation for Yiddishkeit, so to speak. A lot of their teachings, they were taken from us. Now, paradoxical logic is, we'll see, the Makaris and Chazal, is very much actually where Yiddishkeit and where the Ribbono Shel Olam is. And although we live in a fragmented world of Aristotelian logic, that's not true emes. And there are certain times in the year when we get to see that. Now, Purim is one of those times. Let me explain to you. First of all, let's understand what paradoxical logic is. Paradoxical logic says that two opposites are actually one and the same. Why? How so? In Lotzar, who was a Buddhist teacher, he said, gravity is the root of all movement. Stillness, darkness is the root of all light. Which means that can you actually have a definition of something existing to say, oh, it's bright in here, or this is sweet, if sour didn't exist? Could you really say, this food is sweet? The answer is, according to paradoxical logic, no. It would cease to be a sweet food if there was only one taste in the world. There would be no sweet, and there would be no sour. It wouldn't be there would be no sour. There would be no sweet. Paradoxical logic says that actually you need the opposite in order to be able to have the sweet. You need to have the sour. By the way, it's an important thing to know that this is not a Buddhist teaching, but it's Makaris HaMamash and Chazal, it's Makaris HaMamash and Psukim. The Pasuk says, Gamas zeh lo'umas zeh osa likim. And the Pasuk in Keles says, Teva shetechiz bo'ava gam yizeh al-tanach yodecha. And in the Zohar in Parashas Tazria, Daf Mem Zayin on base, I heard from Arbim, it says, V'tanya v'ro'isi ani, sheyesh yisroim l'chochma min asichlus. Right? So we know that Shmuel, that Shem HaMelech said, sheyesh yisroim l'chochma min asichlus. That there's something more elevated, there's something which is greater from chochma, from sichlus. So here you have Shlomo HaMelech, who is the wisest of all men, and what's his statement? That chokhmah, that wisdom, is better than foolishness, than sichlus. What, you need Shlomo HaMelech to tell us that? Says the Zohar, no, it's min hasichlus mamash. It's only because of the sichlus that there is chokhmah. It's not that there would be, there's chokhmah and, oh, there's shame that we've got sichlus. No. Shlomo HaMelech is saying, sheyesh yisroim l'chochma min hasichlus. It's only because there's frivolity. It's almost like chochma needs to say thank you to sichlus, to frivolity, because without that, there would be no chochma. The Amar of Yitzchok, Moshel, the Mosuk B'ma, this was a long time before Lotzah. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Moshel Amosuk Fama, Moshel is to sweet and sour. De lo yoda inish taima de mesika ad de toy merira. You don't know the taste of sweet until you taste the bitter. Maya vila hai mesika, what makes the sweet sweet? Have a oima, you have to agree, hai merira. It's actually the bitter. Behind the chsid, gamesel umase osa likir. Here is one of the Makaris, but it goes throughout, it stretches throughout Mamish from the Gemara to the Zod, from the Kabbalim, and down to our everyday practice of Yiddishkeit, is an understanding that paradoxical logic actually lies at the root of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It Mamish lies at the root of Echad. That we don't believe, like the Christians, that all there is goodness. We believe the Yetzer Hara, right, is Bishnei La'avdo Bishnei Yitzrecha. We believe the Yitzhar is here to actually help our Avodas Hashem. We don't say that you run away from... Obviously, we have to know how to interact with the Yitzhar. But we say that actually, Yiddishkeit is all about engaging with the Yitzhar, not giving in to the Yitzhar, defeating it. But La'ovdo b'shnei Yitzrach b'chomid echom means that we don't live on a hill, disengage with the world, and just live disconnected like Aristotle. We actually engage paradoxically with the world, while at the same time maintaining a paradoxical input and balance. Again, Aristotle says white is white, black is black. Each one can stand alone. Paradoxical says, actually, the emes is that without black, there cannot be white. And I've got a little, many of you will probably have seen this picture, for those of you who are listening, it's a picture of a cup with two faces, right? And this, in a very simple way, kind of, really gives the understanding of paradoxical logic. As you've seen this, you can't agree with Aristotle anymore. Aristotle says, well, this is supposed to be white, but the printer's toner kind of went on to grey, but let's just imagine it's a white cup, right? So, you've got this white cup. What do you see? White cup with two faces. What is it? It's kind of both, but that's the answer. The answer is that some people live in a world, they say, why can't the whole world be white, right? Why do we need black faces? Well, I mean, a racist way, but why do we need these opposites? But actually, what paradoxical logic says is that if you would just have the white, they would cease to exist. And the same with the black. If you would just have these black faces say, let there just be black faces in the world, the whole page would go black. In fact, it's the exact edging of Gamesel le'umaseh aselikin. It's the exact edging of where the black face finishes, which is the edge of the white. And it's like that with our own trials and nisyonos. There's no such thing, we always know, in Yiddishkeit, there's no such thing as good and bad in terms of koichos. Is the power of speech a good thing or a bad thing? Is having a good voice a good thing or a bad thing? And we would say, it depends how you use it, right? It's actually to the exact extent that you can use this lara, you can use it l'toiv. In fact, any of the schad that we'll get in Olam Haba, and any of the schad which we're judged with on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, is exactly how we use that koichos. If someone's born into a family with an amazing brain, and he's just a natural masmid, and he's got natural Ritalin running through his body, and he can't do anything but concentrate and learn, there's very little that he gets schad for in that area. It's the exact tension, it's that point of tension of where he's got the opposite, is how much schad he gets. It's exactly because of the fact that he could negate, is the fact that he can engage. That's paradoxical logic, and that actually is what Purim is all about. Purim is a very funny day, right? It's a day when we kind of engage in a level with Gashmias that we usually don't step into. Chayev inish levesume adla yoda bein orahom on the borof morotai. It's a pella. It's very schwer. You know, first of all, stamos like getting drunk is not a Yiddish azach to do, but then to start getting drunk, only Yidden would do this. You get drunk to the stage of where you start not knowing whether to say Oro or Baruch Hama. You're not sure. Is it Oro Hama? Baruch Mordechai? What is it? Oro Mordechai? Baruch Hama? Oh, hang on a second. Why on earth are you saying Baruch Hama? Adelo Yoda? You're not sure? What type of mitzvah is that? That mitzvah is paradoxical logic. Because you understand that what the tabas of Haman did for the Yidden, what Haman did, maybe it wasn't his choice, maybe it's not his scar. You understand what Haman did for Klal Yisrael in uniting us, in bringing us closer against all that darkness, you start understanding, actually, maybe we should thank Haman for that. The Yidden did teshuva. Think about it, when you look back and you're in that drunken state and you kind of go out of Aristotle mode, you start thinking, hang on a second, let's just break down this story for a second. Would the Yidden have done teshuva if not for Haman? The Gemara says no, the Tabaz of Haman did what the Nevi'im couldn't do. So now you start saying, maybe Baruch Haman, and then you've reached a place, then you've reached a place of paradoxical logic. It's a day of when we engage with Gashmis. Gashmis we're always very scared of, because who knows where it can lead you, but we have Sudas. There's no mitzvah hayoim which kind of takes us away from the Gashmis. We're completely immersed, so to speak, in the darkness, in the Gashmias of life. But Purim is the day of the ultimate Kedusha, ultimate Echad, where the Yerushalmi says it's such a Kodesh day that even everything else was less than a couple, but it's so Korev le'emes of the paradoxical logic of how these two worlds intertwined. How Yetzer Hara and Yetzer Tov are both there to serve the Rebbeinu Shleilam. How Gashmias and Ruchnias are really one. How Tchias HaMesim that we yearn for seems opposite to Aristotle. Surely we should wait for the Olam HaNeshamos. But we understand actually the ultimate is the Guf and the Neshama, with the Neshama in charge. Right? With putting the cup at the forefront and seeing the cup and using the faces as the background. But understanding that actually what the Rebbeinu Shleilam wants from us is to be very much engaged in this world, but finding the boundaries, the parameters, to use that which pulls us against to build us even into greater heights. That is Purim. That is the day that actually, I heard from Shimshon Pinkus, that on Purim he used to sing all the zmiras from the whole year. On Purim, all the songs. Purim is like an Ador, it's the culmination, it's the grand finale, it culminates everything, the Tisha B'Avs, the Rosh Hashanahs, the Yom Kippurs, everything is included in Purim. And that's the day that will kind of turn Yom Kippur, one day will be like Purim. But what is Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is a Yom Kippurim. How? So, on Yom Kippur, we said that there's a chance for Teshuvah, and there's a place where a mokim shabali tshuva imtin, a place where the Baal Tshuva stands, the tzaddikim can't stand. From an Aristotelian perspective, that's very shver. Aristotle says, Eizel, let the tzaddik be a tzaddik, he's greater than the Rosha, or the Baal Tshuva. But Rish Lakish is saying something very deep. Rish Lakish is saying that if I light a candle in a very bright room, take a candle in this room now and we light it, how much light would it give? Very little light. You take that same candle, we switch the lights off, it's the pitch of the night, you'd be able to even see to the back of the room. The Mokim Shabali Tshuva Imtim paradoxically is that actually what this Baal Tshuva can do against the backdrop of his darkness is light up a much greater world than the Tzadikim Einim Yechelim Lamoid. The paradoxical logic almost dictates that you start embracing, and this is the dangerous part, you start embracing the darkness in your life. Right? Because the Baal Teshuva learns from his mistakes. He's got Charot al Ha'ava, he's Mekabel al Abba, and he's in a stronger place when he comes back. I heard from Rebbe Leib Whitler that, you know, this world was built with a hay, right? This world was built with a hay. And the Baal Teshuva, even when he falls, he can come back, right? Where does the Baal Teshuva come back? If you imagine a hay, right? The Baal Teshuva falls, where does he come back? Where does this is where we're all standing. Baal Teshuva falls down, he comes back. Where does he come back to? Through that little Pesach that the Rebbeinu Shleilam created. He stands on that. What is that? That's the lesson he's learned from his mistake. That's the Charot al Ha'ava, the Kabbalah al Ha'ava, that the Tzaddik could still fall. He's got no safety net. When a person does real Teshuva, Me'ava, he's come back and he's actually standing on something that's propping him up from falling. That mokim that he's oimed, a tzaddik can never be oimed because he's never got that darkness against him. The Baal Teshuva, when he repents, he's got the paradoxical logic of the darkness which makes his light shine even brighter. I heard from Rabbi Tetz, he said if a doctor wants to know on an x-ray where a person has had a broken bone, then it's very simple. Where a bone broke back, it's more swollen, it's more stronger in the place. That means that the ultimate way that Rabbeinu Shalom wants us to engage with our chatoim on Yom Kippur, we can engage them a year and wipe it clean. But actually the ultimate place of where we want to get to is where that minus turns into a plus. It's the very fact that I've been in the depths of that darkness that actually gives me paradoxically the strength and the light to be able to build a brighter future. And that comes to the second kasha. That's Rish Lakish. The Dainus Nasus is Kasrius, because when a person engages with his chait in the right way, he learns from his past to build his future, that his mazid, the fact that he made a mistake, makes him a stronger person. And they say, Rav Shimshon Farhush says, this is a pshat in Yom Kippur with the soil azazel. What are you doing bringing a soil azazel? What are you doing bringing a korban azazel? And the answer is, says Rav Shimshon Farhush, because it's on Yom Kippur, on a Yom Kippurim that we actually understand, that if not for the Yetzirah, if not for the Azazel, if not for the Hamons in our life, similar to our Haman, we would never have had a Yom Kippur, we never had a chance to tshuva. And that is where the Mishnah in Yuma comes in at that dangerous moment. Because if we leave the Shia here, it's dangerous. Right? Because we're going to start saying, what are we all going to start saying? Let's go into Averus. Right? And this is the mistake that Shabbatai Tzvi made. This is the mistake that we go all the way back. No, it's like, hang on a second. If you're telling me that bones are so much stronger when they're broken, yeah, maybe we should go around breaking bones, right? Because we'll be stronger. Why be a Rav Chaim Kinesh? We'll be stronger by going into the darkness and lighting a candle, right? And this is the dangerous part, and that is why Chazal and the Mishnah and the Torah says that there's one person that you can't do tshuva, because he understands the depth of tshuva, the greatness of tshuva. He says, you know what? Let me go and do Averus. It's amazing. Think about it like this, in a relationship, right? If someone comes back, me'aba, not me'yira, if someone has a relationship, doesn't speak to his wife for 2 weeks, they're not speaking, they're not getting on, it's a thing, and then they come back together. They figure out a way how to really come back together, not because he's scared of sleeping on the couch again, because genuinely he wants to come back, and they both want to come back. Then that relationship, if it's repaired properly, will be stronger because of the fact that they had a brokenness. And we know that from our own Yom Kippur itself is a day that we knew that we could have a relationship with Hashem because it had been broken, but then we came back. After the Egel, that's the day. When Klal Yisrael come out of this rhyme, who knows whether it's going to last. After a couple have had their first argument, but then they still come back together, their relationship is now stronger. So then, there's almost this temptation that he'll turn around to her and he'll say, you know what? This is quite good. We're really close. Look, we're spending so much more time. We see much more eye to eye. We've kind of had it out. Let's do an argument once a month. Why do we do that? Right? And you know what she's going to do? Rightfully, slap him across the face. Right? Or if it's Sfaradi, then he'll slap her, whichever one. But the idea is that actually, why don't? Because we have enough brokenness in our lives. We have enough chance to do chait that we don't need to go looking for it. There'll be other opportunities where things won't go right in your relationship that you'll have to fix, and those will be the opportunities for us to embrace, opportunities for us to go, but don't go looking for it. And that's the mistake, because if we go looking for that chait, who says we're going to come back? So say Chazal, Eim Ech Lashuv, then Eim Lachuvah, he can't have tshuva because he's someone who's gone into a dangerous zone. But during these Aseres Yemei Tshuva and during Yom Kippur, it's important for us to understand the depth of opportunity that we have. This isn't just like a cool case where you can wipe the slate clean. It's so much more than that. It's the B'mokim Shebali Tshuva Indin that we can take every single Avera that we've ever done and turn it into a plus. Nasus Leikus. If we understand the depth, that Aristotle would say, well, we could have just mitzvah and no Avera. We could have just Yetzer Tov and no Yetzer Hara. Whereas actually, Yom Kippur's understanding the depth of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that the Baruch Shem also was the one who created the Azazel, he was also the one who created Haman, he was also the one who created the Yetzer Hara, and it's only thanks to the tension that we can have that goes against it, it's only thanks to the Mar that we can have Mosik. So what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to go looking for Chet? No. Are we supposed to go looking for Mar? Absolutely not. Then Ein L'Tshuva. But what we can do is celebrate our mistakes. We can come into Yom Kippur and actually say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, now that this chait has happened, I'm going to have charot ala ova, I'm going to have kabbalah ova, and I'm going to use something like that to inspire other people. There's someone I know in America who, and we'll finish with this, it's unbelievable. He was a boy that had a very, very difficult childhood and went off the derech. And obviously, going off derech was a whole different shia and discussion, maybe not even for the Torah way. But he was in the depths of depression and in a very, very bad place. He picked himself up, he built his life together, and now he runs one of the biggest organizations helping children to come back home. And when he speaks to these youngsters, what does he say to them? Does he say to them, you should be good, you should keep the Torah? He says, I was there. I know where you're coming from, I know who you are. He's taken all that darkness, and it's actually because of his Adonis that he's Nasus Lucas Chuyus. He's taken all that darkness and he's lit a candle against that darkness. That's what Yom Kippur's about. Yom Kippur's not about just negating what we've done in the past. It's about saying that where the bones have been broken, I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to make the world a better place. If I've sinned in some area, maybe I can give chizuk to someone else. Maybe that's part of my teshuva, is that I can give chizuk to someone else who I know is struggling in that area. Or I can give a shiur on it. Or I can share it with my family. I can become a greater person because of the brokenness. We should never get... It's a very dangerous concept. Yeah. Throughout history, we've seen people that have kind of embraced this darkness in order to paradoxically create a greater light. That we can't do. But as we engage with Yom Kippur, we have to understand there's a Sori La'Azazel, there's a Yom Kippurim, there's the ultimate Kedusha of Tchias HaMesim, and that is what Yiddishkeit is all about. It's about engaging with our Yetzer Hara, it's about engaging with our Chatoim, building a stronger future, and having a Gemar, Chasima, Tzeva.